Portland's favorite morning roast.
I was listening to the boys this morning.
It's time for your Sunrise Guys.
They've got really good meat. They got great meat.
Dirt and Sprague.
No, dude, get right to the meat.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here at 105.1 The Fan and what we like to call the Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Hello. Happy Mail Sack Tuesday, brought to you by Sparta TRT.
Not trying to be a chotch.
Don't be a chotch with your questions, all right?
I'll try.
Bring the heat, okay?
Listener pointed out that that might have been from last year because I think he was asked about the hypothetical trade, and that's why,
yeah, very
that's
well
why he started it with a...
Bro, I really don't care.
Yeah.
Not trying to be a chotch.
Not trying to be a chotch here, okay? Don't be a chotch. That's the memo of the day. Don't be a chotch.
We have a lot to get to here in the old second hour of the radio program. We might have a guest from Raleigh on later.
It's the Stanley Cup final begins tonight, man. Game one from Raleigh. Them and their t-shirt or their towels.
Their towels.
Waving their towels around. The Caniacs are ready to go.
So we'll get to potentially that coming up as we get into the second hour of the old radio program. We had the death of one Rick Adelman yesterday.
R.I.P. Yeah. To a Blazer legend.
Best coach in history of the franchise?
I think so. He didn't have a title, but how long
Ramsey
was his
was
run?
Pretty innovative and special.
He was his assistant for a while.
Yeah.
He was.
I know it was after the title.
I mean, I have no frame of reference on Ramsey. I wasn't alive for it, so I'll take swag. He was in Portland as an assistant.
Because he started at Chemeketa.
He did. Head coaching record took over 88-89, and he was here until 1994 was his last year. They went to the playoffs every year.
Yep. Two finals appearances.
Loss in the first round, loss in the NBA finals, loss in the conference finals, loss in the NBA finals, loss in the first round, loss in the first round. So playoffs every single year he was the coach here. No championship, but I have no problem with you saying he was the best in NBA history. Getting to two, winning one, like what's, you know.
In Blazer history.
In Blazer history, yes.
My apologies as well to your credit. I've been wrong about a lot of little things in sports lately is what I've noticed about me.
We're getting old. It happens.
Yeah, but it's like the little details that I've largely always believed in my head.
It's also dumb of like, why do I remember stuff like this? Like, why is this sticking in my head?
My wife asked me this when
I
gave her a
random sports
stat.
What did I have lunch for 2 days ago? I can't tell you.
She goes, why do you know that? I go, I really don't know.
I don't know.
I'm not even really into this.
The wife did something last weekend where she had like a car appointment, and she was like, I'm leaving for a car appointment. I'm like, what? She's like, I told you. It was 11 o'clock. I'm like, I don't know. You didn't tell me that. I pulled that card.
Well, Adelman's the greatest coach in Kings history by far.
Oh, we're going to talk about that.
Yeah,
we're going to get to that.
Without a doubt.
The crazy thing is they've only made the playoffs once since he stopped coaching.
In Sacramento?
Yeah, it was
light the beam, ended the drought, and they didn't go back.
They're so bad.
In the last two years, their previous starting point guards are where?
We'll get to
Halliburton
that.
And De'Aaron Fox.
If our wives told us really crucial appointment detail things around sports, do you think we'd remember better?
Less chance. Even less of a chance. Like if there's a game going on that I'm following, less of a chance of me remembering.
Hey, Andy, don't forget tomorrow
at 11 o'clock,
Dan Lanning and I are going to go get our car fixed.
Oh, if you tie something like that sports into it?
Yeah, if you tie sports into it.
It's like I'm not listening and then the word Dan Lanning happens in my head pop. What? What's going on?
Andy, don't forget tomorrow, the big four-star announcement.
If she just referred to everything as a tea time.
As a tea time. Yeah, my tea time for my car is at 11 a.m.
My tea time.
My tea time leaves the airport at 10.
Do you need a ride to the airport?
In that case, yes, I'd have a much better chance of remembering.
I don't know if it would actually help, but, you know, whatever.
To finish your thing, by the way, the Buccaneers were the first team to win a Super Bowl on their home field. But we just kind of forget. I was like, I've heard a lot of people say that. I'm like, didn't Tampa do it too?
I literally read it. It was like the Rams looking the first team. They won the first one at home, and they're going to be the first team ever to win two at home. And I'm like, oh.
And that would certainly be the case. But I also couldn't remember which one came first because COVID has fogged all of our brains of like, did the Bucs win the Super Bowl first or did the Rams win the Super Bowl first?
Mm-hmm.
But it was Bucs and then the Rams over the Bengals.
So we're involved in a lot of chatter right now. There's a lot of hypothetical stuff going on in the world.
We got a lot of noise out there. Is that what you're telling me?
There's a lot of noise, man. Okay. There's a lot of noise. And the noise right now, the Portland Trail Blazers at the top of the list of teams aggressively pursuing Giannis Antetokounmpo. It's us and guess who? our old friends in the South.
Hello, Miami.
Hello, you little bitch in Miami.
Guess who's got the better package?
Oh, hello.
Although tax rates and location and
weather.
Yeah,
location's a big part of this, man.
Eastern Conference.
Don't downplay the location part of
this. They have a few strong arguments against us, but there's no doubt in my mind that we have the better package than Miami. Our young players are better, and our draft compensation that we can offer is better. It just comes down to, would he rather stay in the East and live in Miami? Because those are two strong poles.
Do the Blazers need to have a head coach in place before they would pull a trigger on that?
I'd imagine so. I'd imagine if I'm Giannis, I'd like to know who my head coach would be, and not that I'm going to have a say in who was hired, but who's going
to
be.
As opposed to knowing you got Spo down there. And
right.
Yeah.
Especially coming off of, you know, who knows what is actually important to these guys or not. We don't know them personally, obviously. But, like, the coaching situation in Milwaukee was a dumpster fire. Like, firing a guy, having Stotts on the staff, bringing in Doc Rivers. Like, that was not. Firing Budenholzer wins the title and then they fire him the next year. Like, it's been a little clunky from that angle. I don't know if it actually matters, but I would care to think that it would if I were Giannis.
So I forget the individual. I'm trying to find him because we've heard this before, but Mark Stein is jumping into the fray now.
Well, you guys had it at the end of last week when I was out, the Chris Haynes audio saying that he's, you know, Portland's going after him.
Yeah, so like we kind of knew Portland was going after him. It's just like, oh, it's another big name in the reporting business is saying Portland and Miami are the ones pursuing him the most.
Right now, the most aggressive teams, yeah.
Well, the market's not great. He's such a fascinating situation because for a lot of teams, you what's the top end? Well, we know the top end of it, but are we going to get top end? Is he going to stay healthy? His age? Right. Is he going to sign the extension? Like, there's a lot of moving parts. What it involves to get him. Mm-hmm. So let's take Miami. You tell me, outside of us or somebody else jumping in and making it a multi-team trade, you tell me how it makes any sense for Miami to do this if it's a straight-up trade. Miami would gut their entire organization and just basically continue to be what they are but with a better player?
The only way that it happens for Miami is, and this goes back to the Dame and Giannis comparisons that we've had over the years, is he willing to do the thing that some players aren't willing to do? As in, I will not sign an extension anywhere other than Miami. Because the idea of signing the extension if you trade for him, like, you're not making this move and gutting your roster and all of your future draft capital for a one-year rental of Giannis Antetokounmpo. You're just not going to do it. It doesn't make sense. The chances of winning in 1 year, because of all the reasons you laid out and the teams ahead of you in the West, it just, why would you, I would be against making that move for 1 year. So that's where it comes down to, for a team like Miami to have a chance in this, they might have to gut everything in order to get him, but they have a leg up if he comes out and says, I'm only willing to play in Miami, and I'm only going to sign the extension in Miami.
Okay, so let me ask you this, because I saw a little bit of that chatter. You can't trade him if he doesn't sign the extension. Would you be willing to take the risk of trading not being sure?
I don't think that I would.
Why?
I don't, because it would take all of the amount of ammunition it would take in order to get him. You would be rolling the dice on one season of trying to convince him to resign, which certainly there's a percentage chance that maybe that happens.
Yeah.
He gets here, he loves it, you have success, and it's like, all right, I love playing with Dame and Drew. We got a few more. Like, maybe that is the case.
He flies private, so getting to Greece,
that's
it takes
not that
longer,
big of a deal.
Whatever.
Yeah. But the idea of trading just think about for a moment, if you how many draft picks are you going to have to include, right? Milwaukee swaps are going, Orlando's picks in there, like, all of that is gutted from your inventory.
I think because of the player, I'm not telling you these players are good. Like, Jeremy's more at the back end of his career than he is in the prime of it. And Shaedon Sharpe, I think, is a high-end scorer at best who's never going to lead you to the promised land. But I
tend to agree with you.
Maybe his top-end ceiling at some point, when he's 27, we're like, hey, look at Shaedon. Shaedon's a really good role guy on this team.
Right.
That's what I think it is. I think because the two players, including the 20, what is Shaedon, 22?
20, yeah, somewhere in there.
Right? Because of that, I don't know how many more outside of their picks you give them back.
Yeah, I don't know how many.
The market's not great.
No, I don't really care about the players. The players stuff, like Jeremy Grant, whatever. Shaedon Sharpe at this point, like, it was fun while it lasted, but if you trade him, I'm not crying over spilled
picks.
You're essentially giving up all of that for 1 year, and if you don't win and he leaves, where are you at a year from now?
I don't think you win. So
right. So where are you at a year from now if he walks? Then you don't have those future draft picks to play with. I don't care about losing the players. You're just back to being an average eight seed team in the Western Conference without the draft capital in the future in order to go make another move.
So okay,
that's
so
a
where you're at is you have picks, you have your own picks still, and you've got cap space.
Depending on how many you have to include, because we only have three Milwaukee picks in here. Is three first round picks going to be enough? And two of them are swaps. We only have one of their outright picks, if I remember correctly.
But it's their stuff. If the market is, and I guess what I don't know is how hard are they gonna fall, right? And then don't forget the new tanking lottery system thing of you can't be in the top whatever.
Your odds are less if you're in the top three. You can't be a top five pick 3 years in a row.
Yeah, so I guess what I would say here is, like, where are you? Well, you've gotten out of the Shaden deal. You don't really care about the Jeremy loss.
No.
And you've given them their stuff back, but you still have your stuff. And you've got cap space. So you might be saying, well, yeah, but we don't get free agents break. And I would say, you're right there. But, like, I think a good example of this is, I hate to say this, it really is the Knicks. Your ideal scenario, if you're not in the skids, is the Knicks. Now, they signed Brunson. You don't get a Brunson. I totally understand that. But if you are to believe what a lot of people around here believe, you have a pseudo Brunson-ish player. In many people's minds, Denny Avdija is a top 15 player in the league. He didn't make all NBA this year.
He's in the conversation.
But he was right there on the outside looking in, right? And many people are upset Chet made it and he didn't. So if you already have one of those, why can't you – how did New York get Josh Hart?
Trade.
How did they get OG Anunoby?
Trade.
How did they get Mikal Bridges?
Trade.
Like, how did they get
Cat.
Towns? Like,
trade.
This idea that if you trade the Milwaukee stuff – and a couple players, one of which you don't care about, and the other one you're not really sure you really have a lot of faith he's going to get better, and it doesn't work.
Right.
Is it really like, is it going to break your organization
anymore? No, the argument isn't that it would break you. And I certainly, look, if they did that without the guarantee of an extension, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and tell you I'm going to poo-poo it. I would be psyched to watch Giannis Antetokounmpo wear a Blazer jersey for 1 year. I just, there's just the risk of it happening, and then he leaves. And I'm not saying it breaks your organization.
It's really possible.
You can't
that
be
happens.
Any more broken than you've been. We're nothing. We're
saying.
Irrelevant. We were the seventh seed this year and paraded like we were champions. Like, we've done nothing my entire adult life, stands one run to the conference finals. So that's not the point. It's just the follow-up I would have is, in your mind, if this trade goes down, because I'm with you, I don't think it's going to be a ton of player compensation. If I'm Milwaukee, maybe you're enticed by Scoot, right? Maybe it's a Shaden. Maybe that's your backcourt. You're going to let those guys run and play. That would be pretty ironic. You have to have Jeremy's contract in order to make it match. Giannis is going to want to play with Dame and Drew. How many first-round picks is it taking in order to get this deal done?
Okay, so
Desmond Bane went for 5 last offseason. I know the lottery odds have changed, so are we looking in that same territory? Because that's where it gets, like, if you're trading 5 first-round picks for him and he leaves after 1 year, then to your Knicks point, I don't disagree with the idea that, like, I'm not saying you're going to be crumbled as an organization.
Yeah.
It's just that's a lot of first-round picks, man, for 1 year of not winning anything.
Here is Mark Stein's the one with the report that Portland and Miami are the ones aggressively pursuing Giannis, okay? So we at least at a minimum know this organization internally, they're interested.
Yes.
Now, you get these aggregators who take these news reports. They don't cite any reference to where they got the report, and they use it as their own. One of these guys is Evan Sidery.
Mm.
He is a famous aggregator who pretends
he's
the worst.
Yep.
Listen to this trade. Okay, are you ready for this one?
I'm ready for this
trade.
Are
you buckled up?
I'm buckled up.
Jeremy Grant.
Yep.
Yang Hansen.
Oh, the Younger? That ain't happening.
I think it's done. I think I'm hanging the phone up. It's over. I can't give up Young.
I'm not giving up Young Hansen.
I love that Young's in it. Like, no, he wouldn't.
Nobody wants him, and also our Panda Express guy's over my dead body. He'll veto that trade.
How many years would it take for him to realize Young's not on the roster?
Wait, what do you mean? You traded him? What are you talking about?
Andrew Chung on a business call. Wait, how's Young doing?
At the deadline of next year.
Andrew.
What?
We traded him like 3 years ago.
He was in the Giannis deal, dude.
He's back in China.
What?
He didn't work out. Scoot. Year 4 Scoot loading.
Uh-oh.
The first round pick, Milwaukee.
Okay.
The 29 pick swap.
Yep.
Milwaukee. The 2030, Milwaukee. 2031, 2033. Now that's where you're losing me.
Right. That's like, the question of how many picks.
I ain't doing all that.
If, like, you get an extension deal with him.
On a roll of the dice, I ain't doing that. You keep your own in the futures. I'm in. I'll try it. I'll get weird. I don't care.
Yeah. I think it comes down to, I mean, there's two questions that need to be answered here that we won't know until the trade actually happens. How mean is Giannis Antetokounmpo willing to get? How forceful is he willing to get? How open-minded is he to other markets? Is he truly and honestly...
Do you believe Haynes?
Good, right?
Haynes says he's open-minded to
He didn't
it.
Say he would, but no. He said he would think about it, right? And those are two different things. I'm glad that we're at the point now, at least, where it's a conversation where he would think about it, because it allows me to entertain the notion that maybe something could happen here.
I had somebody tell me he would.
Oh, he would.
Yep.
Oh, look at that. It's going to be funny if he doesn't end up doing it. For 1 year, I'm not trading all of them. Oh, I can't.
The 2031 and 33. I can't do it. Get out of here.
So here, for a reminder for everybody, here's your draft capital. Okay, so 2027, you have your own first round pick. That's it. 2028 is yours or Milwaukee's. It's a swap.
Now they have an Orlando pick in here.
And an Orlando pick.
And Orlando.
So you have yours or Milwaukee's plus Orlando's in 2028.
Yeah.
2029, you have the most and least favorable. So you have two first round picks that year too, between Boston, Milwaukee, and yours.
Yeah.
So the best pick and the worst pick of those two. And then 2030, you have your own or a swap with Milwaukee. And then 31-32, which is your own first-round pick.
Yeah.
So from 2027 to 2032, you have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 first-round picks. From 2027 to 2032, a total of 8. So if it takes you 5 first-round picks in order to do this, and it's a 1-year rental, and he leaves, that leaves you with 3 first-round picks to play with after that.
I just,
depending
you know,
on which ones you give up.
Yeah. My whole thing on it, and I hear all the sides of it, I just don't live in a fear of like, well, you can't do this if he doesn't sign. It's like, yeah, I mean, you know, here's the unfortunate nature of us.
I'm not disagreeing. It would be awesome to have him in a uniform for a year.
The reality of a Portland is, can you get a Jeremy Grant to do a wink and a nod of like, we'll trade you, get the extension, you stay here? Yeah, sure. When it takes for a Giannis, you either got to be shaming somebody like that, see Bob Whitsitt with Scottie Pippen, or you kind of need to be Toronto, not in the you win the title, because I don't think that's possible. You need to be the let's take the flyer on the guy and hope we can
convince him. Hopefully he loves it here for a year.
Yeah.
And it works out for you.
And it may not work out for you. It's not worked out for us with guys that started here.
Nothing has worked out my entire life.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
That's where we live right now.
You know, are you rolling the dice? Yeah, you are, but I'd rather roll the dice than just do nothing and be like, hey, We added another shooter you've never heard of. It's V. Krejci II.
I will just say this, because I certainly understand your point. Maybe my balls are too little to make that move. I just having this be the conversation at the onset of soon to be the offseason, because we got 2 weeks left or whatever in the regular or in the season with the finals starting tomorrow night. It's a fun place to be. And I'm glad that these are the conversations right now.
So are you killing Joe Cronin if he makes the trade and there's not an initial commitment to sign the extension?
I'm not killing him. I'm not killing is not the right word. I would be questioning of where is this going to go? Hmm. Is it a 1-year rental? And then you enjoy the year, you enjoy the roller coaster ride, and you just hope you don't get left at the altar next offseason. That you're going to spend the entire year hoping and praying and doing whatever you can to convince Giannis Antetokounmpo to sign.
And I think
if you pull off the trade and he signs the extension, by golly, build Joe Cronin a statue. I'll overlook all the Young Hansen pick. Forgiven, dude. Chinese Jokic is the best. If you pull that trade off and get the extension out of it, I'll build you a statue.
It's the biggest talent acquisition
the
in
biggest
franchise
move
history.
It's not even close.
It's not even a debate.
There's nothing in the same galaxy.
Scotty was really good, but Scotty was clearly at the back end of that thing.
He was never
like,
a number one.
Is his back okay? Is he able to play? All right, then let's roll it out.
He was very good. I loved having him in Portland. Him and Giannis are not the same thing. This is an MVP.
Yes.
A guy who won a Game 7 of NBA Finals
50.
Had 50 points in a Game 7 of NBA Finals. Like, come on, man.
Dude, it'd be kind of fun, though, like the Drew and Dame and Denny and Donovan and Tumani.
Yeah, I'd like to have that kind of fun. That would be a lot of fun.
God, I just got super excited.
I don't have to watch Jeremy Grant play basketball anymore. That would be delightful.
Dude, I kind of want to buy half-season tickets if that's the team.
Running to the nearest store immediately to buy a Giannis Antetokounmpo jersey if it happens. To get one of those with the long name all the way across the back. Are you kidding me? Like, I remember the feeling.
Wear that on my moped.
My buddy and I, who were at Game 3 together, we were leaving after they blew the 15-point lead to San Antonio, and it's depressing. And the whole, it's like a morgue walking out of the building. Everybody's rehashing what happened.
We got killed by a 19-year-old.
Yes, Dylan Harper just punked Scoot Henderson, and he's like, should be in high school right now. And I just remember like us having the conversation, walking out saying, can we just have a chance once in our adult lives? I don't need to win it, but can I go into a season saying, dude, if things go, like, we're in the mix.
If things
we have an
right
opportunity.
Way, yeah.
If things, you get to a series against OKC and J-Dub gets hurt and Chet Turtles, maybe we pull up. I got, you know, Wemby
you
rolled an ankle.
Crazy things,
all,
man.
Like, if you have a Giannis, your brain is willing to go there. And my brain has not gone there in 20 years.
Well, you're poo-pooing it. I'm all in. So let the record be seen now when that
stated,
happens.
Stated as of now.
When we get him.
You better be sending him. What's the most popular food item in Greece? Send him one of those every day over to the practice facility.
A euro.
Is it a euro?
Oh, yeah.
Send him a daily euro.
Oh, euro. The euro over. There.
That would be a really funny bit if we as a show just delivered him a personally homemade euro every day by euroing it to him as he walks out of the Tualatin facility.
Dude.
Good morning, Giannis. Here's your euro of the day.
At food carts, I usually just get a euro.
I won't admit to him. I used to call it a gyro.
I think a lot of people still call it a gyro.
Gyro's a cooler name, if we're being honest.
It's a pretty badass name.
Yeah.
The next time I get a euro, I'm going to euro with it in
while
front,
eating it
in public. And people are like, what is that guy doing?
It was a euro, dude.
And hopefully there's a husband sitting down going, he just did a euro with a euro.
Nice euro step. I saw that.
So the Blazers and Miami in hot contention for Giannis Antetokounmpo, according to Mark Stein of the Stein Report. All right, let's continue on. Some sad local news to pass along. We'll get to that next on The Fan.
Mail sack.
It is a Sparta TRT mail sack. So get those questions in at 503-864-6326. Get to the mail sack in the final hour of the radio program.
It's already filling up, looking like a full sack today.
We have another NFL trade we haven't gotten to yet because we had a lot of Myles Garrett conversation.
We did, and it was one that, though, I'm sure we discussed it when it was
it's been known
like
for a long time.
Months
it just
ago.
Now officially happened.
I also didn't think they'd get him. And I'm just tired of that team getting everybody. It was either him or the Eagles.
Yeah.
And just like, it's always the Rams or the Eagles getting the guy. But we haven't talked about A.J. Brown, who used an AI photo of his childhood self and didn't think people would notice. So that was interesting.
That's a unique way to do it.
That's one way to do it.
Come on down to Boston.
We talked about the Giannis is being hotly pursued by Portland or Miami. And we'll see if we beat the Miami Heat in that. It'd be actually funny if we did.
Miami would not like us. They already don't like us. That would make it even worse.
Some sad news to pass along and talk about today. And I didn't see this one until about 9:30 last night because I had some basketball practice. Rick Adaman passed away.
Very sad, man.
He passed away at the age of 79, unknown causes. 79 years old. Obviously, he was retired living in the Portland area. And coached here for many years, 29 seasons patrolling NBA sidelines. And he is 10th all-time, 1,042 career regular season victories, 10th most in league history.
That's pretty remarkable that he's top 10 all-time.
He's top 10 all-time. He's got 157 playoff victories during his coaching career that spans four decades.
Yeah.
And in his career as one of the most successful coaches in NBA history. I think I saw this from Gundy. Apologies there. Those coffee and energy drinks just randomly hit you in the segments.
Not a good combo.
I think I saw this from Gundy. So they did, much like they did with players, they did a top 75 of coaches.
Dude, I saw this yesterday. Now, how was he not
he didn't
on the
make
list?
And I feel like we brought that up when that list came out.
How does that make any sense if he's top 10 all time and wins?
It don't mean a thing.
There's not 75 coaches who have rings, though.
I mean,
you don't want to put him ahead of Red or Phil or like
but,
sure
but
Pat
how,
Riley.
How do you explain it? How do you explain it?
I need to see the entire list.
Like,
of
okay,
coaches.
Let me ask you this: who had a better coaching career?
Sure,
I'm seriously asking this question: Doc Rivers or Rick Adelman?
I would take Rick Adelman.
See, I think Rick Adelman had a better career, but
I think
Doc
he was a better
won
coach.
The ring with Boston.
Yeah, and I just you know my opinion on the ring stuff. It's not the end all be all. I understand that they are certainly important, and you want to win them if you can. But the idea that I don't know, they've traded for Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen in one off season, and they win a title as if all of us Doc Rivers was going to get fired 6 months before that, and then he lived off of that one championship for nearly 20 years until he was fired this year.
Adelman made the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame in 2021 and received the NBCA Chuck Daly Lifetime Achievement Award in 2023. Freeman's got a good write up on this. Clyde Drexler, quote, just an absolute gentleman, a prince of a guy. I have nothing but respect and admiration for Rick Adelman. He was one of my favorite coaches of all time. And as good of a coach as he was an even better person gone too soon. A very unique career in the hyper-local category. Began his coaching career at Chemeketa Community College in Salem in 1977. And that's where Jack Ramsey learned of him, hired him as an assistant with the Blazers in 83.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, really just took off. He stayed an assistant under Mike Shuler and then was elevated to interim coach in 89 when they fired Shuler. Adelman guided the team to the playoffs that season and earned the job permanently. Terry Porter said, quote, "We spoke highly about him and really tried to talk into taking talking the front office into taking the interim tag off his name and giving him that coaching gig. Well, they listened, and the rest kind of speaks for itself. He was able to create a system, manage everyone's personality, and get the most out of the group. I think he did a hell of a job. Helped guide the Blazers to the 90-91 finals and the 91-92 finals. And then he ended up getting fired in the mid-90s, moving on.
Yep.
And didn't work as well with the Warriors, but found himself back in Sacramento, where in 2002... they got to the Western Conference Finals in what is known as one of the most rigged games in sports history. They ended up losing to the Lakers in that series. He had a good stint, too, in Houston as well. And I think he was okay in Minnesota, though. His last couple years in the league, he didn't make the playoffs. But
no.
Just a remarkable career. And certainly somebody, look, Ramsey is the first. He's the title winning, all that. Like, certainly a guy you can put in the conversation of debatably the best coach in franchise history, with a remarkable run here in Portland, and then doing it somewhere else. That's what's always, I think, important about coaching.
Yes, so you can do it in multiple places.
If you can do it in multiple places, and you can poo-poo coaching in the NBA because of talent and roster, but I've always said the maintaining of personalities, mm-hmm. the getting guys to buy in.
It's not easy to do.
The not getting guys to check out. Rick Adelman, phenomenal job and a great and a hell of a life.
Well, and I think you can tell a lot about the kind of coach he was based on the comments and the quotes that you read, and those were all over the place yesterday from former players of his chiming in and just how much fun he was to play for, how great of a player's coach he was, how much he took care of his players. Like, they all loved him. And so you look at the track record, man, it's wild to think. Like, I was 1 and 3 years old when it happened, and I know Swag was older and he remembers it vividly, but like the idea of going to an NBA Finals twice in 3 years, the idea of going to 3 consecutive conference finals and having maybe the most heartbreaking loss of all of them being the conference finals loss in between the two NBA Finals losses.
It was almost 3 straight years.
It was almost 3 straight years in the NBA Finals, yeah. And just that being an era of Blazer basketball. And it was a very long, now nearly 40 years ago. So it's, water under the bridge at this point, but he was the guy who was the leading man behind that. Ramsey obviously won the championship in 77. They probably win another one, or at least are very competitive for it in the next year if Walton doesn't break his foot or whatever the injury was. And then their season crumbled. He won the MVP in 78. When you look after that for Ramsey, he was good for a long time. There weren't a lot of deep playoff runs after that 77 championship. It was first round, first round, first round, missed playoffs, second round, first round, second round, first round, first round.
Well, might have won 2 straight championships
without a doubt, without Walton getting hurt in 78, for sure. And he won the MVP that year. For Adelman, it was, you're looking at deep runs multiple years there, where it was a lot of second round runs, the back to back, or 3 straight years in the conference finals, 2 years out of 3 year in the NBA finals. And he was a guy, too, who also, some of it good, some of it bad. He was always connected to our market because his kids grew up here. He lived here. His kids coached here.
Yeah.
Like at local high schools. And, not all the headlines were wonderful about them. But I think that's something unique about us as a city. It's one of the reasons why Dame, for many, is the greatest Blazer of all time, even though he's not maybe not the same player as Clyde or Bill Walton. It's just the way he embraced us. And that was the thing about Adelman, is he always – it felt, he just always kind of embraced Portland. He lived here, and he just was a part of our culture.
And it was
for
a
very
unique
long time.
He was allowed to develop those guys as they drafted him, Clyde and Terry and Jerome. They made a deal to get Duckworth, and then the final piece was the trade to acquire Buck Williams for that starting five on the finals teams. And they drafted guys, Mark Bryan along the way, Uncle Cliffy, that sort of stuff. And it was, he was allowed to develop him and really get into his system. Offense, spread the ball, move, pass, cut, that those sorts of things. And I don't know that coaches aren't afforded that opportunity very much anymore.
No.
Spo was one, but again, he was allowed to develop as a coach, but Pat Riley kept giving him top flight free agents and stuff.
Well, I think that's the thing about Adelman that I was thinking about yesterday, because I read, I thought Freeman did an exceptional job at Oregon Live. He got all the quotes. He kind of ran down his kind of life and his coaching career and how remarkable it is. I mean, it's a heck of a journey. The thing about Adelman that I kept coming back to, as Swag alluded to there, Adelman in this era, I mean, talk about being ahead of your time and spacing and everything that he was teaching back then, and like just having a coach like that now, and to Swag's all his other point too of like just being allotted time.
The ability to grow.
The ability to have setbacks or disappointments, but still be able to say like, what are you going to do next year? And you know, how quickly things can change, I think, in the grand scheme of sports. In, you know, hockey, you see the turnovers quick. Baseball, right? We've obviously seen it in the NBA. That guy was a lot of the time, but he really proved pretty quickly, like,
his first full year as a head coach, they went to the NBA Finals.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, he had the interim tag.
Yeah, he was an assistant. He helped. He
really
was around,
well.
But yeah.
The players bought in. They advocated for him. He comes back his first full season. They're in the finals. They come damn close the next year.
Yeah.
In a year that many think that was their best team, or best season at least. They get there in 92, and, you know, you run into a Pistons, into a Bulls, but... And then, to me, it's not just the Portland side of it, right? It's like Portland fires him. He starts to kind of fizzle a little bit. They fizzle, I guess, as a team. That era ends. They're going to introducing the next wave. They're going to start introducing us to the Jailblazer era, quote unquote. And he doesn't, you know, it's like you kind of lose your identity a little bit. And then in 98, the Kings are like, hey, come take this gig. And he completely transformed that organization. So just a really remarkable coach and career to be able to say, you start at community college, and look, Shemeketa, that's a much different time.
Yes.
You're not going to get the Shemeketa community college guy hired here unless Tom Dundon wants to give him the head coaching job because they'd only pay him $75,000 a year.
I heard he's number one on the big board.
But
worked for us last time.
To be able to do that, it just shows you how much hyper-local it was back then. But
well,
also
and he was
the,
on
the
original Blazer
landscape.
Expansion team.
I know.
As a player.
Yeah.
That's why he was here.
Yeah.
And that's so funny to think about the way it all ties together, too. And you can argue, again, the championship will outweigh this probably for a lot of people, but like the consistency of the run that he went on as the Blazer head coach and then the consistency of the run he went on in Sacramento, you can argue those are the two best iterations of those franchises that they've ever seen. From a competitive year in and out, like we're one of the best teams in the league. We didn't win a championship, and Ramsey certainly did that.
Certainly.
But they went on deep playoff runs every year for a number of years in a row, and there's really only one. That's really the only window in our franchise history that's what it looks like.
It's just great. Like the margins for what somebody is remembered for, like we'll remember him forever.
Yes.
But like the margins and like how close they were in 02 in Sacramento.
Yeah.
And then how
and
close
they, don't
they
get
were.
Screwed.
In the late 80s, early 90s.
Right.
If that guy has two, how much bigger is the story that Rick Adelman's passed away?
It's a game changer for him,
right?
And you were that close multiple times. He should have been in four NBA finals. If they didn't crap the bed in between the two in Portland and the 2002, if they don't get screwed in Sacramento, he should have had two more finals appearances.
I agree.
And two more bites at the apple.
Yeah, so RIP Rick Adelman, he passed away yesterday at the age of 79. A big loss for the city in terms of the history of the Blazers and just somebody that was here forever and a big part of our basketball lives. There is one element of Rick Adelman I want to carry over to the other side. So we'll talk about that coming up next. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1, The Fan. All right, welcome back in. 7:45 on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan. I have not heard back from our Raleigh guy yet, and I asked for about 8:05 start time interview, so I don't know if we will get a Stanley Cup interview and a Tom Dundon peekaboo.
Yes. The old tightwad Tom. What's he up to over in Raleigh these days?
Well, they
getting
say...
Getting ready for game one of the Stanley Cup Final. That's what he's doing.
There's reports he's hitting Shemeketa and Clark College up right now for the next head coaching gig and then flying to Raleigh this afternoon for game one.
Go to Lynn Benton for a cup of coffee and then fly your
Road Runners.
Fly your butt back to Raleigh, okay? Get there in time, Tom.
Roadrunner pride. I want to stick in the NBA. So I was reading about Rick Adelman, thinking about Rick Adelman.
Who's the third best coach in franchise history?
Stotts.
Yeah, it has to be, doesn't it?
That's not even like conversation. He's got more wins than Adelman.
Yeah.
As far as their stint in Portland,
stint in Portland.
I mean, Lenny Wilkins was here for a cup of coffee. But
Lenny Wilkins is not
better. What about Dunleavy?
No.
Back-to-back conference finals?
Yeah. Could Stotts have gotten to a... Well, Stotts got to a conference finals.
He
and
did.
He didn't have that roster.
Dunleavy won a game.
Well... Myers Leonard had to play minutes.
In the conference finals.
Did Dunleavy have to play Myers Leonard? Did he? Huh? Did he need Myers Leonard to
score? He played Dale Davis, so. Played double D.
Oh, yeah, double D. So you have Dunleavy over Stotts?
No, I was just asking the question. I was curious. Stotts was here for a very long time. I think you're right. I was just wondering in my head of like, who, because we can debate Adelman or, you know, Ramsey.
Well, I think the
Ramsey
Adelman debate is no. Yeah, I shouldn't say this like this. To me, it reminds me of like our version of LeBron Jordan. I just think Ramsey's always going to be the default one, and there's nothing. Yeah. The other will do, but
one's
Adelman,
got one and the other's got none. That matters most to most.
Right. One was on Broadway. The other one just drove probably over the bridge. But I think you go Ramsey 1, Adelman 2, Stotts 3, Dunleavy 4.
Is Dunleavy your fourth?
Caleb Canales 5.
What about Mo Cheeks, dude? I mean, saving that national anthem, where does the Mo Cheeks ranking come in?
One of the best uses of the name Mo Cheeks is the Dan Le Batard show doing a song yell during the Thunder Miami Heat finals.
Mo Cheeks.
Where they said, you're coming down to Miami, all you'll be screaming is Mo Cheeks. Mo Cheeks.
By the way, Swag, did you try and throw Lenny? Well, Lenny Wilkins was the coach here for 2 years. Did he
That's
come
he
back?
Said.
Okay.
He said that.
He can't be for 2 years.
Lenny Wilkins was
I said we're talking about just their stint in Portland because obviously if you look at
in the bigger picture,
the entirety of their careers.
Yeah.
But he was only here for a cup of coffee.
Is there anybody else we're forgetting? PJ, hey, who could forget PJ?
Is PJ top 5?
PJ was here. How many years was PJ the head coach in your mind?
So he replaced Adelman, right?
He replaced Adelman.
Yeah. So he was here 94,
94, 95.
Like 3 or 4 years.
I'm going to say 3 seasons
for PJ.
Yeah.
Made the playoffs every year, never got out of the first round.
Then he went and got choked.
Yes, he did. Dunleavy took over in 97-98, made the playoffs. He made the playoffs every year. But brought in Mo Cheeks. He wasn't here. Dunleavy's run is shorter than I remember, too.
Yeah, Dunleavy didn't last very long. Three. That's why I didn't put him in there.
Yeah, only 4 years for Dunleavy. Yeah. And then we went to Mo for 3 years.
Yeah.
Who could forget Kevin Pritchard's 5-22 run?
Nate McMillan was a part of, like, the revamp.
He was. Nate McMillan had a good run here.
I know people hated him because he was kind of
he was
boring.
Here longer than any of those other guys mentioned. Yeah, and then Stotts took over. And it's funny to remember how long Stotts was here for. That was a long run.
It's also,
and modern NBA coaching conversation, like, that's you don't see a lot of those anymore.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a kind of an easy question.
He took over in 2012. He was here until 2022. So he basically had a decade run as a head coach.
Remember, he was a stepping stone.
Yes, he was.
I'll never forget
when
that.
We hired him. At first, it was like, Terry's the guy who got fired in Milwaukee. That's who we're hiring? And then he was here for 10 years.
He got fired in Atlanta and Milwaukee.
How many NBA coaches currently have been with their team for a decade?
Kerr
and Spo. Anybody else?
No,
I don't think so.
Nope.
Mike Malone was the other one before he got whacked.
I don't know. Was he even there for 10 years, though?
I think it was close
encroaching on that, and then he got fired.
No.
Let me Google it.
You sure?
Mike Malone did not coach Denver for 10 years.
He was there for a while.
10 years? You're lying. You're going to tell me it's like 5.
He took over in Denver in 2015, 2016, and he was fired in 24, 25. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 seasons.
That's crazy.
Technically 10 seasons.
Mike Malone.
Fired with 8 games to go in year 10.
Oh, my God. That's
he
how
was
you send
eight
off
games
a 10-year
away.
Guy?
8 games away.
Yeah, so 10. Not 10 in your face.
Not fully. 9.87 years is how long he was the head coach.
I think I'd redo that math.
Nah, it works. Don't worry about it.
One thing he got my gears going on, Adelman, is I think a lot of people here will obviously remember the Portland run. I do think outside of our bubble, there's going to be a lot of people that remember him for the Kings run. Because here's the crazy fun fact about Rick Adelman.
The Donahue angle of it, too.
He left in 05-06. They've only made the playoffs one time since he left.
It's insane.
That's nuts.
That is bananas.
So here's the thing about the NBA Finals is going to start tomorrow. We'll have a little bit more on the Finals. I don't know if you have anything on the show sheet with it. But I wanted to go through because Rick Adelman made me go, God, the Kings... What a disaster. I want to thank CBS Sports for this. So, a tough NBA Finals if you're looking at the Sacramento Kings
purview here. The last 2 years for them.
De'Aaron Fox and Mike Brown were literally a coach-guard combination a couple seasons ago that helped get you to the playoffs for the first time in 20 years. You traded and fired them. And now they're both going against each other in the NBA Finals.
Yep.
Last year, Who was in the NBA Finals in a Game 7?
The best player on the floor for his team was Tyrese Halliburton.
I'd argue the best player in the series.
Very well could have been.
Tyrese Halliburton. Who was in the finals 3 years ago leading their team but didn't win it?
What was the finals 3 years ago?
Well, it had been 2 years ago, not counting this one.
2 years. Who won the year before that? Boston?
Boston. Who'd they beat?
Dallas.
Who did the Kings bypass in the NBA draft?
Oh, yeah, Luka.
They drafted Marvin Bagley III.
Yes.
Mike Malone won a title in Denver, did he not?
Yes, he did.
Who coached the Sacramento Kings in 2013-2014?
And then they fired him.
Mike Malone. Zero NBA final appearances for the Sacramento Kings in 41 seasons. There's been five NBA finals appearances the last 4 years by individuals that coached and or starred for their own team.
It's brutal, dude. Brutal.
They are one of the worst.
Yes.
They're in the conversation for one of the worst sports franchises to ever exist.
They're irrelevant.
They are worse than the Oakland Athletics.
Yeah, the A's have at least been on playoff runs and had a movie made about them. Like that, you know, it's not great, but they got that going for them.
You're right. If you get a movie made about
Brad Pitt is in a movie about your baseball
you're right,
team.
Brad Pitt's
that puts
for your
you
team.
Immediately above the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah.
It's not even a debate.
Yes.
You've been in the playoffs one time in 20 years.
Yes.
Over half. We have 20 teams in the play-in now.
Crazy.
20 teams every year. There's only 30 in the NBA. You
How
can't even make it.
How is anybody still a Kings fan?
I don't
know.
I'll never forget. We randomly had, like, I think it was because of the radio rankings that come out, and we were ahead of a Sacramento station one time, and they mentioned it on their show, and so all of a sudden their listeners started infiltrating our YouTube chat. We're like, dude, you're
the guy was on our YouTube chat, the host.
You're the Kings. Like, get out of here. Nobody cares about Sacramento.
I remember that year because it was I had heard about him in college, Dave Carmichael.
Yeah.
He's a morning host in Sacramento, and we you know, these rankings, I don't know who does them, but we were ahead of him on some ranking thing that, like,
bring it on, Dave.
Whatever. He literally showed up in our YouTube chat
this
the
show
next
sucks.
Show.
Oh, these guys ahead of me. These guys aren't any good. He sends his listeners after us. Go back to Sacramento, dude. You're a flyover town. Nobody cares about you. We at least have good culture and food. Yeah, we got crack pipes and meth.
Do we have good culture?
We have good culture.
Do we have good culture?
I think we got good culture. Oh, okay. We got better culture than Sacramento. Maybe not good culture. We have better culture than Sacramento.
We have better food than Sacramento.
If you want to go on vacation, anybody in the, where would you rather go? Yeah. Sacramento or it's not even
More
close.
People want to see the Pacific Northwest than they want to go to Sacramento.
2 hours from a mountain, 2 hours from the coast. Get out of here, Sacramento.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah, the Kings.
Yeah, if they weren't the state capital.
No.
I'd argue you strip it away from them.
Yes.
Relocate.
Why do they get to be the state capital?
I don't know.
Salem's better than Sacramento. We got good pizza in Salem.
Well,
let's not take it a step too far. Look, my family lives in Salem. I go to Salem often.
You're close to wine country. It's beautiful down there.
The last time you were in Salem.
You might have traveled. That was more than a Euro step. You might have traveled right there.
Yeah, too many steps there.
Three steps.
That's a James Harden Euro.
Just knock down that three, though. Step back. They didn't call it.
That's a gather, and then he takes the two steps.
No, there was a dribble in there. You just didn't see it. I promise. It wasn't a travel.
Dude, the best thing about Salem outside of my in-laws living there, God, I shouldn't say this. I don't mind Salem.
Go ahead.
You know
away.
How I'm going to always remember Salem?
Fire against our capital. What do you got? Are you a J6er in Oregon? You storming the Oregon
what?
Capitol?
No.
You anti-Salem? You want to take them down?
No. I'm always going to remember Salem for whatever stupid reason. My wife is from there. That should be the reason.
Yeah, it's the birthplace of your wife.
But back to our conversation, how we remember the dumbest things versus the important things.
Right.
I will always remember Salem as I was in the Lancaster Mall when I found out Steve McNair was murdered. And I sat in a comfortable chair.
I got to sit down to process this news.
I literally told my wife,
"He's gunned down
I need
prime.
To sit down and process this."
Steve, Aaron McNair was great. I don't blame you. There's nothing wrong with that story. All right? He should have won. Kevin Dyson was a yard away.
A guy told me at a Just Sports or something.
You'll never believe this, dude.
And I said, "Alcorn State's finest?" That's Salem.
I need to sit down, honey.
I got to process.
Let's go get P.F. Chang's.
Salem's better than Sacramento. You took that a step too far. Loaded third hour. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 The Fan.